Then I'll come to order. Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Roll call for Friday, March 2nd. Barnard?
Here.
Bebout?
Excuse.
Burns?
Here.
Case?
Here.
Christensen?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
Cooper?
Here.
Dockstader?
Here.
Driscoll?
Here.
Emmerich?
Here.
Esquibel?
Here.
Geis?
Here.
Hastert?
Here.
Hicks?
Here.
Hines?
Here.
Jennings?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Landon?
Here.
Martin?
Here.
Meyer?
Here.
Nicholas?
Here.
Nutting?
Here.
Perkins?
Here.
Peterson?
Here.
Ross?
Here.
Rothfuss?
Here.
Schiffer?
Here.
Scott?
Here.
Von Platern?
Here.
President Anderson?
Here.
Bebout?
Here.
30 present.
Prayer by Reverend Robinson.
Let us pray. Loving God, it has been a gracious week. You have filled every day with early mornings, full schedules, and long hours. And you have also given us opportunities. You have blessed us with work to do and the ability to accomplish it. And with each finished task and successful endeavor, we give you thanks for the meaning it adds to our lives. And for each failed attempt and thwarted effort, we ask that you give us understanding so that we might learn what those experiences tell us about ourselves and each other. You have blessed us with friends to work beside, and with each friend who helps us accomplish more than we can do on our own, we give you thanks for the power of relationships. Forgive us for those strangers we have met and did not allow to become friends, for the times we saw those strangers as enemies, and for the lines we draw that put some in and some out. Give us the eyes of Christ so that we might see all as your children. There have been times when you surprise us with chance or circumstance. We pray that those surprises become blessings as we learn more and more to trust in you. At the end of this week, we pray that you will help us finish this day with satisfaction, and we pray that we might enter into the next week refreshed and ready to begin again the work that you grant us, not only so that we might accomplish something, not only so that we might be satisfied, but also so that we might see you in the work that we do in the day that you give us, so that we might have another opportunity to find meaning in our lives, to learn from our mistakes, and to make friends out of strangers and blessings out of surprises. Loving God, thank you for this week. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the reading clerk please read the Journal Committee report? Yes, you may. Go ahead.
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports at the Journal of March 1st, 2012 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Nutting, Chairman.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, the report is adopted. Senator Jennings, go ahead now.
This is just to be more specific.
Mr. President, I have a report.
You may.
Mr. President, up above you, and as I call these names off, would you please stand? Joseph Painter, Austin Seagrave, and Cameron Olson. Members of the Senate, these are our Eagle Scouts. And now with the rest of the scouting program in the balcony, please rise too. We all know what Boy Scouts are and how much work the Eagle Scouts go through and their community projects. Would you join me in welcoming this fine group to the Senate today?
Thank you,
Mr. President.
Thank you. Welcome, Eagles, and I would say that high perch is probably appropriate for Eagle. New business. Our doctor for the day is, Dr. Sigsby Duck from Rock Springs. I don't believe the doctor is here quite now. Our nurse for the day is Lisa Halsey, and Lisa comes to us from Cheyenne Regional Medical Center. Thank you, Lisa. On this day in history, in 1888, the Wyoming legislature passed an act for the construction of public buildings over Governor Moonlight's veto. Moonlight had vetoed the act mostly on the grounds that the appropriations were too excessive. Thought for the day. Still works for me after almost 15 years. Education is hanging around until you caught on. And also, even though he's occupied trying to keep below the radar, Senator Hines, I understand tomorrow's your birthday. So we can't let that go by without some notice. So happy birthday, Senator Hines. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear home. Happy birthday to you.
Go ahead, Senator.
Privilege of the floor. You know, you always sing to me every year, and every year when I come down here, you cause me to get another year older. I don't know what the connection, but I'm going to have to quit this. Thank you.
Thank you. And we sure don't want you to quit. Well, this morning, it's my honor to welcome U.S. Representative Cynthia Lummis back to Wyoming Legislature. Prior to being elected to represent the people of Wyoming in the U.S. House of Representatives, she served for 14 years in the House and Senate. She is currently serving on the Subcommittee of Agriculture, the Subcommittee on Interior and Environment, and the Subcommittee on Labor, Health and Human Services and Education. Representative Lummis continues to be involved in the daily operation of the Lummis Family Ranch, which is located in Laramie County, while proudly serving the residents of Wyoming and Washington. So, members of the body, please help me in welcoming United States Representative Lummis to the chamber.
Well, thank you very much, Wyoming senators and Mr. President, may I have the privilege of the floor?
Oh, most certainly. You've earned that.
Thank you, Mr. President. It really is an extraordinary honor for me to be back with you this morning. The air is fresher. This place is enlightened compared to the place that I'm working throughout the week. And I know that Senators Enzi and Barrasso and I, when we come here to visit with you, talk about how superior the Wyoming legislature is, but it's not just words. It is so far superior that I wish we could just take the process and the people that we have here in Wyoming and transplant them to Washington. Members of every party in every part of the state here in Wyoming work so much more closely together for the good of our state and our country. There is so much knowledge in this institution. The process is so much clearer and far better. I was just over speaking to the House of Representatives, and I told them what it's like now for me going in my first term from being on authorizing committees, including the Budget Committee, the Agriculture Committee, and the Natural Resources Committee, to now being on the Appropriations Committee and having appropriations control over those agencies. There's a complete disconnect in Washington between authorizing committees and the Appropriations Committee. It's so logical here for the authorizing committees to set policy, and then the bill is re-referred to the Appropriations Committee, where a decision is made about how much money is necessary to expend in order to implement those policies. That process never happens in Washington. Never. We spend money on programs that lapsed 20 years ago because there's no communications between the authorizers and the appropriators. And thereby, we allow disparate parties to never have to come together and solve the problems with programs like the Endangered Species Act, which lapsed over 20 years ago but continues to be funded. Well, no wonder there's no incentive to repair those programs. And there are hundreds of those programs. There is only one federal agency that even knows what programs it has, because Congress authorizes programs that it never funds. There are 80 economic development programs in all across the federal government. There are 63 job training programs all across the federal government. It's ludicrous. And it's partly because of the process. There's this absolute disconnect. This process is superior. These people are superior. And that's why we are so proud, all three of us, of the training that was provided by the Wyoming legislature, House and Senate, by the continued advice and counsel that we get from members of the Wyoming legislature. As a member of the Appropriations Committee, I'm looking at the tentacles that spread out in the federal government to fund climate change studies, to fund now hydraulic fracking control by the federal government, when the superior, seminal, and additional and initial process for dealing with hydraulic fracking and making it more transparent was right here in Wyoming. This is a superior state. This is the best state in the country. I have no doubt, because now I've seen the way they all do business and how when they come together in our national government, how few people respect the priorities that our founding fathers provided for us. And that is that the people are here and the states are here and they are superior to the federal government. That the 10th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution provided that the states and the people were superior and the federal government was subservient, and that the federal government should protect and defend our borders and provide for the common defense and deliver the mail and a few other things that we don't do very well. Yet we managed to find our way to meddle in business that was preserved by our founding fathers for the Wyoming legislature, for you and for the people of Wyoming. This is one of the finest institutions of government in the country. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of it. I'm proud of our state. To a person, to a party, to a region, this is the last best place on earth. Thank you for all you do, every one of you, for our beloved state. Thank you for serving in the classrooms of this state, for flying the planes in this state, for drilling for oil and gas in this state, for ranching in this state. Every one of you is exemplifying the best of citizen legislatures and the best of America. You know, God bless you all, and thank you for everything you're doing for our beloved state of Wyoming. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I yield back.
Representative Lummis, on behalf of the Wyoming legislature, thank you for taking the time to visit with us today, and we wish you continued success serving Wyoming in the United States House of Representatives. Thank you and welcome home. Before we go on to other business, I think I have a joint conference committee appointment to make here. Joint conference committee number one, having to do with House Bill 121. That conference is Nicholas, Bebout, and Ross. And again, having to do with House Bill 121. Reports from standing committees.
March the 2nd, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 77, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Barnard, Coe, Jennings, Landon, Ruffa, Senator Coe, Chairman. March the 2nd, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 116, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Hastert, Meyer, Peterson, Von Fladern, no, Senator Nicholas, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. March the 2nd, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agricultural, State, and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Joint Resolution 8, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Bebout, Driscoll, Emmerich, Geis, and Hicks, Senator Geis, Chairman. March the 2nd, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, State, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Joint Resolution 10, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Bebout, Driscoll, Emmerich, Geis, and Hicks, Senator Geis, Chairman. March the 2nd, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, State, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 7, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senator Driscoll, Emmerich, Geis, Hicks, no, Senators Bebout, Senator Geis, Chairman.
Bill's on second reading. Yes, Senator Geis, go ahead, please.
House Bill 7, which you just read in, Voluntary Livestock Identification Program, that has an appropriation and needs to be re-referred to committee number 2.
Thank you. Senator Geis, the request is that House Bill 7 be re-referred from committee 5 to committee 2. Appropriations, are there any objections? Seeing none, that is so ordered. Bill's on second reading. House Bill 2, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 2, Service of Process Fees.
There are no amendments. Is there any discussion? House Bill 2, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 22, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 22, Gold Star License Plates Expanded Eligibility.
No amendments. Any discussion? House Bill 22, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 38, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 38, Coal Valuation Industry Factors.
There are some amendments, and I believe that the first amendment is the Rothfuss Amendment. I'd ask the reading clerk to read that in at this time.
House Bill 38, Second reading, amendment number 1 to engrossed copy.
Senator Rossus, would you like to speak to the amendment?
Thank you, Mr. President, I would. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 38, ask the body for favorable consideration of this House bill, or excuse me, this amendment. Mr. President, what this amendment does is address the concern that we discussed on Committee of the Whole with regard to this piece of legislation, that it is difficult to forecast what the future of the industry rate or industry ratio is going to be in the coming years. So, Mr. President, I did a little bit of analysis, and all of you have a copy of a color graph on your desk which shows the historical trends of this direct cost ratio since 1993 when the data was available. Mr. President, what this chart shows, if you take a look at it, is the historical data, which is represented in green, trend line, which is the best fit for that, basically showing the historic trend throughout the history of that ratio, which you can see. And what that's shown historically, Mr. President, is basically that since 1993, it's increased the ratio about 0.7% per year. So rather than stabilize at what you see as the red line on this chart, which would be the 79.5%, which is currently what this piece of legislation says, House Bill 38, would stabilize the Powder River Basin area at 79.5%. I've proposed an amendment here that follows the trend line and continues to increase in the future, and it actually increases slightly less aggressively than what this trend shows, allowing for the fact that it'll probably slow down and stabilize. So while the historic trend was an increase of 0.7% per year since 1993, the proposed amendment that I have here proposes a 0.5% increase each year moving into the future for the next 20 years, which at that point would actually take it to 99.5%, which is near the limit of 1. Realistically, we probably won't get to that point. We'll need to revisit this statute before then. But as is already mentioned in the statute, we're looking 3 years into the future to revisit the current situation. So what we see here is a most likely projection based on the previous trend for the next 3 years to try to attain that revenue neutrality. The objective of this bill, as you may recall, is two things. Simplify the current system, and it is terribly complicated. There's no question about it. The current system is difficult and complicated, and I understand the need for simplification, and maintain revenue neutrality. This is the best attempt, based on the available data, to maintain revenue neutrality for the next 3 years that we can statistically do. If we look at the graph one last time, what we're seeing is, despite the historic trend, the legislation as drafted would just follow the red line. And it's hard to conclude that that red dotted line is going to be the future when you have the past data that you need to project from. So again, what this amendment tries to do is, based on previous trends, provide the best available projection for revenue neutrality while maintaining simplicity, which were the objectives, and recognizing that in 3 years, based on the legislation, we're supposed to come back and look at this again, which would happen certainly under this situation. I'd suggest that it may not happen without this type of an approach, because this approach will continue to increase until it's no longer in favor of industry not to readdress the problem. If we leave it at 79.5%, we may not achieve that point, so we would end up having to come back and effectively put forward a tax increase to solve the problem, and it's very difficult to get a tax increase to pass both chambers. That, Mr. President, is the amendment. I'd appreciate favorable consideration and would certainly be willing to answer any questions on it as we move forward.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Hines?
Mr. President, I propose this amendment at this time because, as I interpret it, it is a tax increase. But what I'm going to ask, mainly, I've been working with the two or three parties that are affected and concerned with this bill, And that's why I had it laid back yesterday, so we could see if we could get to a point where most of us agreed on it. We're not quite there yet, but we got proposals, and we're working on amendments, and I will have amendments by third reading that will give us a clearer directions, and you can make your decisions then on the issue that would be presented. So basically, I'm asking that today you let it move forward as is, and we'll have our amendments and see if you accept them on Monday. I would oppose this amendment, Mr. President.
Other conversation? Seeing none, and I do believe this does pose, which would be an increase, I would ask the Chief Clerk to call the roll.
Barnard? No. Bebelt?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
No.
Cole?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Amrick?
No.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Martin?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Anderson?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 6 ayes, 24 noes.
Second reading amendment number 1 has failed. Brings us to second reading amendment number 2, the Burns Amendment. I'd ask that be read in at this time.
House Bill 38, second reading amendment number 2 to engross copy, page 1, line 3.
Senator Burns?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 38. Mr. President, if you look at that the chart that the good senator from the Ivory Tower put out, you see a constantly rising amount of lost revenue to the state. And I'm still trying to figure out, in my mind, what the benefit of this bill is. And now the good senator of the Revenue Committee has now said, well, he's gathered with the people who are behind this bill, and they'll be bringing some amendments tomorrow that are going to, I don't know exactly what he thinks it's going to do to the bill. I have no idea what it's going to do to the bill. I don't know if this bill it does any good for the state or not. And so what I see, so what second reading amendment number 2 does is it sunsets it. It sunsets the bill as of December 31st, 2016. Mr. President, in the bill there is a requirement of a report of the benefits or detriments of this bill on November 1st, 2015 to the Joint Revenue Interim Committee. And that's when we'll be able to look back and see if this bill has done the state any good and the coal industry any good or not. But as it is, and the way the bill reads now, all that is a report. That doesn't do anything. And as it's been stated, it actually puts the legislature in the odd position, or the tough position, of having to vote a tax increase if indeed it has not done the state any good. We don't know that it's going to save the state money, cost the state money, or whatever. And so, Mr. President, what this bill does is it sunsets it a year later, so that come 2016, the 2016 session, the legislature can at that time say, yes, this has been a good deal, and we will continue it. And it may well just flow through and be a consent list bill and go right through as we have been. Or if the legislature realizes at that time, and the report has come in, that this bill has been terrible for the state, then we can go back to the way things were.
Thank you, Senator Burns. Senator Hines, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, again, at this point, I would say to deny this amendment, to delete it, or defeat it. One of the things we are looking at currently, and we're working with the Department of Revenue, is a sunset date. and probably a yearly reporting that gives us information sooner than we would otherwise, and probably even sooner than this bill would accomplish. But like I say, we're asking for just a little more time so before third reading, so we'll have some definite programs and some figures from the Department of Revenue to show you. So I ask that we resist this amendment at this time.
Go ahead, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, on and for the amendment, folks, I don't know a lot about coal taxation, but I do know this. I do know the companies know a lot more about it than I do, and probably practically everybody in this room. And I don't know whether I'm going to vote for this bill with or without the amendment, but I'm pretty sure without it, there's no way I could come up with an easy feeling. At least this gives me a feeling if I made the biggest bonehead mistake in my life by voting for this bill, at least I know it's gone in 2016.
Other comments?
What?
Senator Scott, go ahead, please.
Mr. President, I'm having trouble with this amendment making up my mind. Let me, in the pro side, is that we aren't really sure what we're doing here, and this will force us to have another look at it, and we'll have found out whether what we did was smart or not, and will force us to do something one way or the other with a sunset date. The con side is that with an industry like this, if you want them to grow and expand and invest, and I'm sure the mines you have to keep investing to keep up and things wear out, you need to have some certainty in your tax situation so you can understand whether a future whether further investment is going to be profitable in the future. And that would suggest to me that we have an incentive to give them certainty to not put sunsets on their tax rate, because they can, if the sunset there is a very real uncertainty as to what they'll be faced with in the future. So, Mr. President, I would urge us to think pretty hard about what we're doing with sunset dates as to whether or not they might be self-defeating in terms of giving the industry the incentive to grow and seek to invest in Wyoming and continue to be a strong player here and a strong source of revenue for us.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Burns.
Mr. President, for my second time, I'm for the coal industry. I hope the coal industry thrives. I hope it expands, and we all do well with it. I don't know how well this bill is going to serve the state. And we've got the promises of the chairman of the Revenue Committee that he's going to bring amendments that are better. He even says that they're going to bring a sunset date. So,
Senator Burns, I think we're just kind of on the edge of kind of personal reference. I would prefer you extol the virtues of your amendment and not get too personal in regard to what his motives might be. So we'd like to hear the value of the amendment.
Oh, sorry, Mr. President. I didn't mean to disparage the motives of the chairman of the Revenue Committee at all. No, I never have. I hold him in the highest esteem. My point is that if he's bringing a sunset date with his amendment anyway, there's actually no harm in having a sunset date in here now so that his amendment can then revoke this current amendment now.
Thank you, Senator Burns.
Are there other comments?
The amendment before us is second reading amendment number 2, House Bill 38. All those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
That amendment has failed. Brings us back to the bill. House Bill 38, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be... I'm sorry, go ahead, Senator Nicholas.
Mr. President, I guess on coming back on the next reading, if the sponsors could respond to this diagram, and What we're now is charting out the direct cost ratio. And one would, I mean, I think the assumption is this is taxes collected, and that you would see one method generating a plateauing of taxes collected and the other one an escalating one. I don't think that they're necessarily connected that. I think we ought to be having, we should have a chart that shows, look, if the taxes, the taxable valuation under the proportional profits method as traditionally applied has yielded this valuation in context, for example, to the price of coal, and this new method will do another chart alongside. So, one would see alarm in this when you see it because it does look like a dramatic shift. But when you, if all you're plotting is the direct cost ratio, that doesn't plot taxes collected and or taxable value against which you resulted in. And we need to see that chart because if you do, if you see a chart like this, then we ought to pause and say, wait a minute, what's going on here? Because the representation is that we will approximate the same value of taxes collected, give or take a million or two, and that ought to be able to be plotted on a chart. And if we don't see that, then frankly, we shouldn't make a decision.
Okay, we're back into the debate here. I think before the sponsor speaks, we'll go to the Senator Cooper, and then we're done with this round. We'll go back to Senator Hines.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this was just on the bill. So, just
we are on the bill. There are no amendments that
right.
to be dealt with at this time.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I just wanted to mention that it would also would be good that in the next go round on this bill that it would be nice if we had kind of some spreadsheets or graphs or something to show what the cause and effect is on the various counties that are affected here. It'd just be good to have that. Thank you.
Okay. I think that pretty well covers it. We'll go back for a final statement on part of the sponsor. Go ahead, Senator Hines.
Mr. Chairman, I can and I will have a sheet that shows some of these. The problems with productions, all of the things that we currently are using is January Craig report on production and price. And we all know both of those factors can change. But for the short term, we've already looked and I've already got some figures on what it will do for the next two or three years. And the question right now is do we try to raise the factor or do we put the sunset on? Well, we'll have two or three years information so we can make a better decision. In that case, as the question will, I'll do the best I can for getting, it probably won't be clear out to 2022, but I can get it down for 3 or 4 years, I believe, to see if there is a trend there. And I'll have that for you on Monday.
I believe the sponsor does have another time. Senator Meyer, go ahead.
Okay, I was just going to ask a question that if you could bring some material back for third reading.
Yeah, and anything will help him, help yeah. the sponsor shape the third reading would be helpful.
Certainly, Mr. President. There was some discussion that one of the reasons we needed this bill was because of sometimes you were overpaid, sometimes you were underpaid, whether you were the person paying the taxes or the person receiving the revenue. And it was discussed that there's three variables in there that I recall. One was production, one was price, and one was what we're dealing with in this bill, and that was the formula. And I'm just kind of curious if there's any, on third reading, if you could bring back something that would tell us how much of those situations involved the formula, how much was the price and how much was the production when there was a discrepancy or someone felt that they were under or overpaid.
Are there any other requests of the sponsors in regard to how he might be helpful on third reading? Senator Hines, you got that?
Mr. President, I've taken notes now. I'll work on those and get them ready for Monday morning.
Okay, thank you. With that, I think that House Bill 38, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection. It is so ordered. House Bill 41. Second. We do have some very distinguished-looking guests over there. Thank you, Senator Johnson.
Privilege of the floor, Mr. President.
You may.
Thank you. We have three very distinguished guests here. If I ask them to rise, stand up. We have three gentlemen from the fast attack submarine, the USS Cheyenne. And it gives me great pleasure to introduce the captain of the Cheyenne, Commander Gary Roganis. Sounds good. The senior chief Petty Officer Mike Hinkle, the chief of the boat, and being an ex-enlisted man, they get looking younger every year. And then we have Lieutenant J.G. John Russell, the communicator officer, and after you honor these gentlemen, the captain would like to give Mr. President a coin for the USS Cheyenne and a lapel pin. So, Senate, please make the USS Cheyenne welcome.
Well, distinguished members of the Senate of the great state of Wyoming, it's my pleasure to represent the USS Cheyenne as the captain. The Cheyenne completed a very successful six-month Western Pacific deployment the end of September of last year. We celebrated the 15th anniversary of the commissioning of the Cheyenne and had a delegation from the city and from the state come out and assist us in that celebration. That was a wonderful time. Right now, I'm in the process of preparing the crew and the ship for another deployment, and that will be happening again here coming up in the fall. So right after Thanksgiving, the USS Cheyenne will again forward deploy for 6 months to the Western Pacific. While we were out this last summer, we had the chance to take the name Cheyenne to Singapore, Saipan, Yokosuka, Japan, and Guam. We also accomplished three missions that were vital to national security. You can be very proud of the people that serve on board the Cheyenne and the missions that we accomplished with sharing the name of the Cheyenne throughout the world. So, Mr. President, I'd like to present one of my coins. You got to shake my hand for it.
All right. I'll have to say that will be worn, displayed very proudly.
Yes, sir. And a lapel pin with the symbol of the USS Cheyenne.
There you didn't go with that. Thank you so much. You know, I just like to say we are not allowed to refer to the other body. So there was an attempt over there to appropriate monies for an aircraft carrier.
I won't comment on that.
To complete the statement is that attempt was unsuccessful. Had that been done in the Senate, we would probably have appropriated a submarine and we'd have been far more successful.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
These end times, we all need a little sparkle, I think. Continuing on with House Bill 41, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 41, Omnibus Water Bill Planning.
No amendments. Are there any comments, discussion? Seeing none, House Bill 41, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 54, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 54, Crime Victim Service Providers Reporting.
No amendments. Seeing no discussion, House Bill 54, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 90, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 90, Baseline Scientific Assessments.
There is an amendment, the Hicks Amendment. I'd ask that be read in at this time, please.
House Bill 90, second reading, amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 3, line 5.
Go ahead, Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, members of the Senate, I would like to move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 90. Members of the body, I would hope this would be construed as a friendly amendment. It just goes into the bill and it adds a little more language for clarification. Page 3, line 5. Adds pipelines and transmission lines that have to be inventoried and taken into consideration. Page 3, line 8 also includes stock driveways along in that inventory. The real substance of this thing that I think that I wanted to provide some additional clarification comes in on page 3, line 17. And the current language says any species that may be listed in the future, and the simple fact is we don't know what those species may or may not be. And my way of thinking, that probably provided an out for the agencies to inventory these. But I have provided a handout to you on your desk, and it's a list of how they go about identifying species for federal land management actions. It's a U.S. Department of Interior letter. And what I try to do with this is basically use the federal agency vernacular and list specifically, but not completely limited to that list, all those potential lists of both the state and agency federal, both the state and federal agencies that keep these type of species lists. And keep in mind, this is both plants and animals. And you go through this, Forest Service will use viability and management indicator species. Bureau of Land Management uses sensitive species list. The Wyoming Game and Fish Department uses a list called their Native Species Status List. And then all of these will eventually revert back to the University of Wyoming maintains a list called the Wyoming Natural Diversity Database. These are the segue species that not only to deal with endangered species that have the potential to preclude economic development or restrictions of land use, they're also the segue to the endangered species list because it's some entity, whether it be state or federal, is identified that they're very sensitive. So what this language just tries to do is clarify what list we're looking at, not inclusive, but these are the ones that are really important that when you go out on a federal land use plan and you're going to identify species that may have potential ramifications to future economic development, these are the lists you need to go to. The other component of that would be just to add conservation districts on there, and the reason for doing that is the conservation districts is authorized already by this body on numerous different parameters. Water quality for the last 15 years is the legislature has authorized districts to go out and collect water quality data, and recently in the last couple of years through the Rangeland Assessment Program is already actively out doing that. The other reason is you've got 32 conservation districts scattered around the state of Wyoming. Many of them are already actively collecting this type of information on federal lands. I just want to point out, again, if I can just digress a little bit for those of you who read the paper yesterday, Wyoming just joined in litigation over the Black Hills National Forest, and the three species that they're talking about up there are not on the endangered species list. This comes back to these very lists that I've referenced in this document. So these are the ones above and beyond ESA that have huge ramifications for potential economic development on federal lands within the state of Wyoming. With that, I'd stand for any questions.
Any questions? Go ahead, Senator Beebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think that this amendment really clarifies some important language on the endangered species. The other further lines out the different areas that we need to be talking about. And on the conservation districts, too, I think it's very important that they be included because, as you all recall, under different federal law, that under the cooperating agency status, these conservation districts are awarded that position. So it only makes sense to include them. So I would ask that you support this amendment.
Any further questions, conversation? I see one question being called. Regard to second reading amendment number 1, House Bill 90, all those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That amendment has passed. I believe that disposes of all the amendments on the bill. We are back on the bill. House Bill 90, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Bill's on 3rd reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list for us, please?
Mr. President, I move a 3rd reading consent list as follows. House Bill 4, Ignition Interlock Program Fees. House Bill 5, Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association Limitations. House Bill 15, Insurance Surplus Lines. House Bill 16, Insurance Code Revisions. House Bill 40, Optional Sales Use Tax Uses. House Bill 50, Insurance Fraud Prevention. House Bill 55, Perfection of Security Interest Titled Personal Property. House Bill 66, Industrial Siting, Financial Resources. House Bill 72, Juvenile Detention Facility Placements. And House Bill 88, DUI Penalties.
Would anyone like any of the bills removed from the consent list? Senator Scott. Senator Scott has requested that House Bill 88 be removed. Are there any others requests for removal? Seeing none, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? House Bill 4, House Bill 5, House Bill 15, House Bill 16, House Bill 40, House Bill 50, House Bill 55, House Bill 66, and House Bill 72. Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case. Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer, Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 ayes. House Bill 4, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 4, 30 ayes. House Bill 5, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 5, 30 ayes. House Bill 15, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 15, 30 ayes. House Bill 16, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 16, 30 ayes. House Bill 40, are there any changes?
Hicks,
aye to no. Geis, aye to no. Bebout, aye to no. Coe, aye to no. Von Flatern, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no. Emmerich, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Martin, aye to no. Christensen, aye to no.
Ross,
aye to no.
Anderson, aye to no.
President Anderson, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 40, 17 ayes, 13 noes. House Bill 50, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 50, 30 ayes. House Bill 55, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 55, 30 ayes. House Bill 66, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 66, 30 ayes. House Bill 72, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 72, 30 ayes.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 4, House Bill 5, House Bill 15, House Bill 16, House Bill 40, House Bill 50, House Bill 55, House Bill 66, and House Bill 72 have passed the Senate. Other bills on third reading. Senate File 88, third reading of the Senate, or excuse me, House Bill 88, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 88, sponsored by Representative Crone, DUI penalties and act relating to motor vehicles, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senator Scott, would you like to speak to the bill?
Mr. President, I pulled this off. As I read the bill, what it does is it increases the penalty from it's now a 2 years imprisonment felony and increases it to a 7 year imprisonment felony, fourth conviction of DUI within 10 years. And you can see, Mr. President, the incarceration rates under the current law, they're reproduced in the footnote, the fiscal note to the bill. Mr. President, I've become increasingly concerned over the years with our tendency to go to heavier and heavier incarceration, longer periods, felonies, and incarcerate a larger percentage of the population for longer, and wonder whether we're really doing any good with it. And in this bill, my question to you is, by incarcerating some of these individuals for an additional 5 years, are we really making the public any safer? Now, there's no question that DWI is a very serious offense. We're essentially treating it as attempted manslaughter, which is about what it is. But by adding another 5 years imprisonment, are we really adding anything to the safety of the public, or are we just doing something that gives us the illusion of making progress without actually making any progress? And, Mr. President, that's the question I would ask each one of you to ask yourself as you vote on this bill.
Senator Cole, go ahead.
Mr. President, in support of the bill. If you have somebody that gets four DUIs within 10 years, let me tell you something. That person probably has been out there doing it, and just happened to get caught. If you do enhance this penalty, which I think you should, this will send a message, big time, I think. Now, I read in the Billings Gazette one day about a guy up in Billings that had been picked up 12 times for DUIs. What we're trying to do with this bill is protect us, the citizens of the state of Wyoming, from them. You can't pick up this paper, the newspaper, any particular day where you don't see a problem with the DUI. There are people getting killed on the highways, killed on the streets of this state by these offenders that continue to offend and continue to drive when they've been drinking. I think this is a good bill. I think it's appropriate. And I can tell you something else. The people of the state of Wyoming want stiffer DUI penalties. I'd ask that you support the bill.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think my tall colleague from Natrona County makes us want to ask the right question. You know, if we put more people away in prison, does that protect the society? But I think that what the other question that you have to ask yourself is the deterrent of the 7 years. Will that stop somebody from that third and fourth DUI? And having watched some people that I know in Casper go through this, one of the programs, the Interlock program, didn't work. You know, nothing else worked. But these guys, I think that if they knew that they could have up to a maximum off the streets, out of society, away from their family, I know one in particular would probably go dry on the whole deal. So I would ask myself that question, too. What is the deterrent that the 7 years does, not just if we lock them up? I support the bill and hope you would, too.
I'm going to just go across. Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I do appreciate my good friend for opening the discussion a little bit on this bill, because I have a lot of the same sentiments that he does. You know, since I joined this chamber, it seems like every year we come down and we feel like we've got to ratchet these things up. And I wish we didn't have to do that. But, you know, folks, the reason I signed on to this is that the message is not getting through. We talked about a day or two ago about something else in relation to DUI and the ignition interlocks that my friend from Natrona County just brought up. And to me, those numbers that I shared with all of you were startling. I mean, this thing is not getting better. And all this bill does is give our judges out there a little more discretion to get these habitual guys and gals off the street that my friend from Park County alluded to. These are the people that are just not getting it. And in some ways, you know, I wish we didn't have to do this. I think this one we have to do. I support the bill. That's why I'm on it. Thank you.
Go ahead, Senator Meyer, and then
Mr. President, there's a lot of things associated with this bill and what we've done in the past. And I want to call your attention to something that happened in the budget, is that we had to put on extra people at the administrative hearings office just to deal with the changes in the law that we had before. And a lot of that was with implied consent. So we've hired two extra people, one paid for by Department of Transportation, and basically just to hear DUI cases. So, and a lot of that was with the implied consent, because that used to be the first get out of jail free card for these guys. So now, rather than, if you put it in context, these guys were getting out once, so this in context without previous year's legislation, it was essentially five times, and you were facing 2 years. And now it truly is four times, because you got rid of implied consent. And you know that the volume is going up appreciably. One thing that we look at in JAC every year, and I think judiciary looks at it also, is the amount of prison beds that we're expected to put into the system and when they're going to go in and what it's actually going to cost. And there is a cost-benefit relationship between putting people in prison that we're mad at and putting people in prison that we're afraid of. Now, you can make an argument, I think, on both sides, that you could be afraid of some of these folks who are habitual, especially if they're up there at two or three times the legal limit. But if someone that's habitual and has just maybe had a couple occasional drinks, and folks, really, two, three drinks, you're there, at the 0.08. Now, are you afraid of a person that's had three drinks, or are you just mad at him because he got caught four times? You gotta think about this. It's gonna cost us. We're gonna have to put another wing on that prison up there, and we made the decision to do it. And we're all set. We got the foundations. All we have to do is plug and play with that. But we can only do it once. And how many prison beds are we actually going to have? Because you're talking about thousands of people that essentially we're really mad at. And so, you know, I guess vote this one up or down. But 2 years is a pretty good deterrent right now. Does anybody on this floor want to take 2 years out of their lives? I guess ask that question.
I think Senator Case was up, and then we'll go to Senator Roth's thing. Go ahead, Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, Mr. President, since I've been to the Senate, I remember I introduced the first bill to have mandatory jail time for a third DUI. And that year, the Senate passed it. And since that time, we have had a great increase in our hammer that we've brought down on these terrible offenders. We have lowered the alcohol content from 0.1 to 0.08. We have increased penalties for multiple DUIs. We've developed an ignition interlock program. We've changed the look back from 5 years to 10 years, which I thought was a huge, huge thing. And then we've increased the jail term, and now we're poised to do it again. And I've also had the opportunity to be here when we built and repaired prisons and tried to figure out what was driving our prison populations. And in that process, I learned that most people that are in prison are there because of some substance abuse or alcohol connection. No question about it. You may have committed a crime, but most of the time you go on probation and you may get a few bumps. But the one reason why people lose their probation and go to prison is because they fail a drug or an alcohol test. And so we are dealing with something that is psychological, that is fundamental. And we put people in prison, and they come out and they do it again. Prison doesn't change the substance abuse problem. We're not reaching it. We're not getting it. But the only thing this bill will accomplish, Mr. President, is to take somebody and have them off the streets for 5 years. And everybody might agree that that's worth it because they're a danger to society and we need to do that. But I'm telling you, we have to change those people. And somehow, because we can't build enough prisons, if we could find a better solution to substance abuse and alcohol, we would need one-third the prisons that we have now. Now, what is that solution? Maybe it's lifetime lose your driver's license. Maybe it's lifetime interlocks. Maybe it's lifetime drug testing. I don't know. But I suspect putting them in prison just puts them on the shelf for a while. And 2 years, I have to agree, is an awful long time to give up your life for this. And if you're going to change, you're going to change in 2 years. If you're not going to change, 10 years doesn't make any difference. But it does come at a tremendous cost to us to put somebody away for 7 years. And if the problem, Mr. President, finally is that the judges aren't imposing the maximum sentences, come back with a bill that does that. If 2 years is not enough, then we have to look at what we're doing wrong, and prison's not the answer always.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and for this bill, I, too, am a co-sponsor. And I agree, we need to find some solutions that allow us to address the addiction, allow us to rehabilitate, but I would hope we would be able to do that on those first three strikes. I think when we've gotten to that fourth strike, it's not just rehabilitation we're looking for. It is protection of the public from these dangerous individuals. I'm not just mad at them at the fourth time. I really do want them off the street. You know, we had an incident back home a few weeks ago where a kid passed out driving, drove up an embankment and hit one of our college students, and he was critically injured. I believe he's okay at this point, but that's the type of thing that happens, and that's the type of situation that we need to be preventing. So given a choice, I recognize we don't want to keep filling up our prisons. We don't want to have to build new prisons, and we have a tremendous expense associated with that. But what we want our prison system to be doing is protecting us. And these are individuals, by the time you get to the fourth point, where they're a threat to society, they're a threat to our children, they're a threat to us. And this is a means of further attempting to protect us through trying to scare people away from continuing these bad habits. But if they're not afraid of the penalty, taking them off the street and ensuring the fact that they can't be any additional threat. This does send a message, and I am certainly not averse to trying to find new ways to make sure they never reach that fourth point. That would be an excellent outcome, and I agree with my good colleague from Lander that said that we need to focus on that, and I'd look forward to some legislation that helps to address that and make sure we never reach four. But to the extent that we have someone, Mr. President, that reaches four, we need to make sure that that's taken very seriously by our system, and I believe we should support this piece of legislation.
Senator Escobel.
Mr. President, it's been said that we want to send a message, and I'm not sure what the message is. Well, I think I know what the message is, but alcohol sends a much stronger message, and it's a more effective message. It's a more seductive message than any message we can send by raising the penalties. We glamorize alcohol, and you know, at various times we've had the discussion about we don't want to legalize drugs. Well, members of the Senate, I would submit that we have legalized drugs. Alcohol is a drug, but we glamorize it. It gives a strong message, and whatever message we come up with in regard to penalties, putting people away, I think as long as that glamorous message from the alcohol industry is there, we're going to be filling up more prisons. And it's not only just dangerous guys out there, it's, you know, dangerous women. Alcohol is an equal opportunity addictive substance. And I agree with my good senator from Fremont County that filling up the prisons is probably not the solution we're looking for, but in the meantime, I'm not sure that I have an answer, and I'm not sure which way I'm going to go on this one, but I think we have to look at the message that alcohol, that our society gives to our young people in regard to the glory and the glamour of alcohol. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Perkins.
You know, we have. I remember we've looked every year that I've been down. In fact, I went back and looked, I think it was 5 years ago that we came down and we had a wholesale. There was a bill that came over from, and we had a wholesale increase of the penalties on that, and this body, by a narrow margin, resisted that, and which I think was the appropriate thing to do. With that, and as we've looked at this thing, we came down and we've done a number of things, and I think ultimately it comes down to, and I agree that I don't know what kind of I don't think we send a message, but I don't think it's heard. I think that the former speaker is exactly right. I don't think people make good decisions sitting on bar stools nursing a drink. But we've done a number of things. We've done something every year, and I don't anticipate that will stop because this is a problem that affects people every year. What we know is that about 67% of the people who have a first DUI, Mr. President, will not have another one. But then we see probably about another third or so that will go between a second to a third, from a second to a third. And they drop substantially. But there's just certain folks out there, Mr. President, don't get the message. And we can't send a message. We've got ignition interlocks, and I would beg to differ that they don't work. I think they do. We've got over 1,000 people in the state now that have some difficulty in getting behind a wheel because there's an ignition interlock in the car. When you come to this, I think ultimately it comes down to the fact that somehow you have to physically prevent people from driving because they're just not. We can take away their driver's licenses for life. It's not going to stop them from driving. And in particular, I'm behind this message, behind this bill. And support this bill because of a couple things that have happened in our community. There are two instances in the last 12 months in our community, where an individual got out of prison after, I believe, 18 to 20 months for the fifth DUI. Within 3 months of that release, he had his sixth DUI. Pending the resolution of that sixth DUI, he was picked up for his seventh DUI. There was another one fairly recently that another one was picked up on her eighth DUI. And so one of the reasons I'm behind this bill is because if you have the misfortune to drink and drive and hurt somebody, you've got 10 years. If you have the misfortune to drink and drive and kill somebody, it's 20 years. But as I think my good colleague from Natrona County said, if you drink and drive and have the fortune to not hit anybody, not hurt anybody, you're looking at 2 years. And I don't think sitting on a bar stool, whether it's 2 years or 10 years, is not going to make any difference to the person sitting on the bar stool looking at that drink. Maybe a couple. I think it comes down to it at some point, because this isn't just the fourth. I don't anticipate that judges will be sentencing people to 7 years on a fourth, but this includes a fourth and any subsequent DUIs. And so at some point, I don't know whether that number's the sixth, I don't know if that's the eighth, but certainly by the time you get to the tenth, if they can't get the message, Mr. President, I don't know that we have a choice but to simply protect ourselves.
Question being called, Senator Cole.
Yeah, I just think this is a good bill, and you know, I would like to see this legislature go on record as saying we're serious about this stuff. If this bill, if you get somebody out there, like we talked about, that just isn't going to quit doing this, if you take them off the street for an additional 5 years, potentially, and you save one life, this is a worthwhile piece of legislation. And I think it's a good, I don't have all the answers. I agree with the good senator from Fremont County. You know, if we could find the perfect solution to this situation, that'd be great. But I don't know any other thing to do right now. If somebody else got a better idea, come up with it. But good discussion, good comments by the good senator from Natrona County. Ask that you support the bill.
House Bill 88. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Coe, aye.
Cooper,
aye.
Dockstader,
aye.
Driscoll,
aye.
Amrick,
aye.
Esquibel,
aye.
Geis,
no.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson, Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 26 ayes, 4 noes.
Having House Bill 88, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 88 has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're ready for those bills on General 5.
President, I move that the Senate resolve itself into Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Senator Emmerich, would you like to do the honors?
Committee of the Whole will come to order. First bill for our consideration is House Bill 11. The reading clerk will please read the House bill.
House Bill number 11, sponsored by Representative Brown, Business Entity Revisions, an act relating to business entities. It was referred to Committee number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, Martin, and Scott. Senator Case, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Ross.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it, do so with a due pass recommendation on House Bill 11. I don't think there was any amendments in committee. Members of the Senate, House Bill 11 is a cleanup bill to some of our business laws. Basically, providing for an appeal process for limited liability companies and for, which is on the first page and then on the second page with regards to reinstatement for registered agents. And then you'll see some striking of some language. This was a uniform act that came through a while ago, and some states have a provision that you can't amend or repeal a statute unless that there's an authorizing clause in the statute itself when it's passed. Well, that's not the case here in Wyoming, so we just struck out that language. That's the nature of the bill, and I urge your favorable consideration.
Question has been called for. All those in favor, the Committee of the Whole rises to report. They do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 11. Please say aye. House Bill 11. Please say aye. Those opposed? House Bill 11 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 26. Will the clerk please read it in?
House Bill number 26, sponsored by the Minerals Committee, Contractor Residency Provisions, an act relating to public works and contracts.
Senator Bebout.
Just a minute, Senator.
Sorry.
It was sent over to Committee number 9, Mineral Business Economic Development, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Bebout, Cole, Cooper, Jennings, and Rothfuss. Senator Bebout, Chairman. It was reassigned to Committee number 2, Appropriations, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Hastert, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, Von Flader, and Senator Nicholas, Chairman.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report it, do so with a recommendation that House Bill 26, Contractor Residency Provisions, do pass. There is a Committee of the Whole amendment. I ask that be read in at this time.
House Bill 26, Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, do in gross copy, page 2, line 9.
Mr. Chairman, I would move the Committee of the Whole amendment and speak to the bill. Members of the Senate, this is a contractor residency provision. Your Minerals Committee, along with the Appropriations Committee, continues to work on this issue of contractors' preference for our state, and we all know the arguments and what we're trying to accomplish with this. Mr. Chairman, this bill, some of the things that it changes within the Act is on page 2, we go into the resident definition, we add natural person and association, and we also change the wording from president to chief executive officer. Then on page 3, we further define that, what a chief executive officer means. We on page 4, we include the department, which means the Department of Workforce Services. And then we go into the next part of it, Mr. Chairman, that talks about the penalties. And if someone knowingly makes false statements about them being a contractor, with should have preference, it's a felony. And then the other part of the bill, Mr. Chairman, is a matrix was worked on by our LSO staff to further deal with contractor preference. This doesn't get to all of the issues, and so there's a select committee, Mr. Chairman, set up to deal with this for this next interim. And if you look at the starting on page 6, section 2, and through the rest of the bill, it sets up that select committee. Typically, how we set up other committees, there's a $20,000 appropriation. If there are no questions on the bill, I would I have already moved the Standing Committee of the Amendment to the bill, or Committee of the Whole Amendment to the bill, Mr. Chairman. What it does is strictly clean up, and I would ask that you support that Committee of the Whole Amendment and ask for the question on it.
Question has been called. All those in favor of Senator Bebout's motion to adopt the Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 to House Bill 26, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The amendment has been adopted. Senator Schiffer?
Going to Section 2. Mr. Chairman, my question is, there are at least one and sometimes two committees that are working their way through the issue of contractors and contractor preference. I think we are making progress. What I'm asking is, why do we need a select committee at this point? You've got one committee that's very conversant in contracting and contractor preference. Then we go create another committee that may or may not have the background, the knowledge, the history. This is the kind of thing that a standing committee can deal with. Strangely enough, this is kind of a moving target, and it will continue to be a moving target. Those companies that want to, we're spending money. Other states are not spending money. Guess what? Foreign companies from Montana or Utah, they're no dummies. They hear about it. And whatever, and they'll qualify. They'll qualify as an in-state company. And we can change the law, and they'll figure out a way around it. They don't just build buildings. They build business. And dealing with the bureaucratic regulations is part of what they do. And oftentimes we think we can make a select committee, and that solves the problem. It won't. This company will pass more legislation. Companies will figure out how to get around it. My question is, will a select committee get the 10 tablets that we need to keep these guys out, or are we just going through a drill and creating a committee for no good purpose?
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My colleague from Johnson County makes some very good points, and we had that very discussion about how to approach this subject. And if the body will remember, a couple of years ago, we started off where the Appropriations Committee was working a certain part of our laws, that being with the CMAR design and build and the bigger projects where you had an engineering firm would operate under those type of provisions. We also had that if, in fact, you had a CMAR or somebody that did the design and build, that they would try to utilize. And now we have statutes that say 75% of the subcontractors shall be Wyoming resident contractors. But there's also the issue of the definition of contractor's preference. And so what we did when we put this matrix together, and it was handled by someone that's very knowledgeable in LSO staff, we decided that the Joint Appropriations Committee would work on the CMAR part of that, and there's a bill that has already gone through the Senate. I believe it's Senate File 107 or 117. I'm not sure of the number. And then the Minerals Committee is working on this. And we talked about a joint subcommittee between the two as ways to deal with this. And ultimately, we came up with this approach. You know, members of the Senate, you know, this will not be solved, but this is certainly going to focus for the first time since I've been dealing with this, and it started in 1987. Because my colleague from Johnson County is right. We pass a bill, we tighten it up, and guess what they do? They hire a very good lawyer and figure a way around it and come back as a contractor with a contractor's license as a resident. And so I, just as much as anyone here, want to tighten this up. If there's a better way and we could do this, I'm open to that. We thought this was the approach. We could really focus on it and come back to this full body in the next general session to try to close some loopholes. I will submit to you there are some known loopholes out there. I hope that this select committee, if you choose to move it forward, will deal with those issues. I would ask that you support the bill.
Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Bebout's motion that when the committee of the whole rise to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 26. All of those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No.
House Bill 26 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 27. Could you read that in, please?
House Bill number 27, sponsored by the Minerals Committee, Extension of Energy Producing States Coalition, an act relating to the legislature. It was referred to Committee number 9, Mineral Business and Economic Development, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Bebout, Cole, Cooper, Jennings, Rothfuss, Senator Bebout, Chairman. It was referred to Committee number 2, Appropriations, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Hastert, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, Von Fladeren, Senator Nicholas, Chairman.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise the report, it do so with a recommendation that House Bill 27, Extension of Energy Producing States Coalition, do pass. Excuse me, there's a standing committee amendment. I ask it to be read in at this time.
House Bill number 27, Standing Committee Amendment number 1, to engross copy, page 2, line 6.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move the standing committee amendment. Members of the Senate, this extends the Energy Producing States Coalition and Wyoming's involvement in that particular coalition. And it's sort of fitting that this morning we heard from our Congresswoman talking about what's going on in Washington and some of the ridiculous rules and regulations that they're implying and putting the pressure on the states. And we all understand and support the Tenth Amendment and the states' rights. And so what you're seeing and what you're hearing from her and what we're seeing as states is the issues we have to fight collectively to take on the federal government. This goes beyond the BLM. It goes into the EPA and all these other different rules and regulations. And what the Energy Producing States Coalition has done so far, and I think it's been very positive, we now have many member states that produce energy in our country, and it includes Alaska, Texas, North Dakota, Utah. We're talking to other states, West Virginia, Louisiana, that we can collectively go with a unified voice to take on the federal government and issues that affect us all in relative to energy production. And the coalition of states that we're putting together, when we get it finally completed, will represent about 80% of the nation's capacity to produce energy. We think that's significant. We think we can have a voice to be heard. And the whole idea is not only to take a unified voice to Washington to try to have an impact on some of the ridiculous things they're trying to do, states under our states' rights, but also to be able to work on legislation that between states. There's some legislation that we just amended on the second reading today, House Bill 90, that comes as a result of these meetings. So I would ask the body to extend the Energy Producing States Coalition for the next couple of years. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I would discuss the Standing Committee Amendment. And what it does, simply on page 2, we ask for a report in October of 2012. We deleted that, and we want to just extend that so it would be for each year. And I would ask that you support the Standing Committee Amendment and call for the question on that.
Question has been called for. All those in favor of Senator Bebout's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? That has passed. We're on
question
the
question on the bill.
Question on the bill. All those in favor of Senator Bebout's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 27, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The bill has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 34. Would you please read that in?
House Bill number 34, sponsored by Representative Throne. Subdivision Consideration of Schools, an act relating to subdivisions. It was referred to Committee number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, Martin, and Scott. Senator Case, Chairman.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a do pass recommendation on House Bill 34, Subdivisions, Consideration of Schools. Mr. Chairman, there's a standing committee amendment, and I would ask to be read in at this time.
House Bill 34, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to engrossed copy, page 1, line 9.
Senator Case.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I move the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 34. Mr. Chairman, as this bill moved through our process, it got a little bit of a haircut on the other side. And Mr. Chairman, there's a reference in Section 1 of page 1 to parts of statute that are no longer in the bill. So if the Standing Committee Amendment would go to page 9 after the comma, delete 18.5-308 by creating a new subsection D. It deletes that language, and the reason it does is because that was removed as the bill was on the other side. I'd ask for favorable consideration of the Standing Committee Amendment, and then I'll yield to the co-sponsor on the bill.
Senator Ross.
House Bill 34 comes to you as an attempt to provide a little foresight, a little planning into subdivision process as we move forward and as communities grow to consider schools and what impact a subdivision may have on your local school district. As many of you know, we've had some pretty big issues here in Laramie County recently over locations of some schools and what they call the Central Triad. And part of the problem that some of our communities face, like Cheyenne, is that you're relatively landlocked in Cheyenne. You can't probably go north much anymore. And the only ways you can really expand within the city is to the east and to the south. So all this bill does, it's been watered down substantially. It goes into two sections of our subdivisions laws, and this is permissive. It doesn't require a county to do it. But that if there is a subdivision coming in, that the board, which is may require, as you see in line 1 on page 2, to review and recommendation from the school board of any school district in which the subdivision will be located regarding the potential impacts of a subdivision within a district. And we put that in your minimum requirements for subdivisions and then for large subdivisions themselves. So basically, what this bill is now is a planning tool. You've got to consider when you're putting in subdivision, what will be the effect, and hopefully there'll be some planning, a process, at least some forward thinking about a school in that area. So that's all the bill does.
Senator Bebot.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question. I think the way the bill started out, it was more of a mandatory thing that you had to put an inclusion in a subdivision, which sort of create all kind of other issues. So you've taken that out, and this is more just let's think about it when we're doing it.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, question for the sponsor. Why would we need this provision? Isn't the option already available that the school boards can go back through planning and zoning, county commissioners or town councils or city councils as their concerns? Are we laying another layer of on where there's already an opportunity to do this?
Senator Ross.
Well, logic would tell us that maybe that's the case, that there you should be doing this in any event. But quite frankly, it's not happening a lot, and it didn't happen very well here in Laramie County. Not all counties have zoning and planning and everything else. So the good senator from Fremont County is absolutely correct. It was much more, the original bill was a mandate and had much stricter language. This is a much calmer bill now. But it's certainly, I think having it in the statute will help those that are, thinking about putting in a subdivision, that they at least see that this is one of the things that should be considered. That's all.
Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I was, curious as to maybe what the outcome, the results would be even from these recommendations. Is so maybe what I was wondering from the sponsor should this maybe then allow the commissioners to preclude the development of a subdivision if the schools in the area are not capable of handling additional students, or is this just some sort of a thing for a recommendation that would be moved on to the state level and to the like the capital facilities, school capital facilities commission or something of that sort? I was just kind of wondering why that we need this recommendation in there.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Having, you know, most county commissioners ultimately end up serving as the kind of the land planning board of last resort in most counties until they before they get to the district court. When I first looked at this bill, it's substantially calmer than it was initially. But what are the things that you want? I think one of the things that we want as a policy in the board as we want boards to look at is what's the effect going to be on schools? Do we need to have the studies? Will it reach into the school facilities commission? Absolutely. We want to. We want to be forward looking and knowing what's going to happen. If you're going to go out here and build a new subdivision that ultimately will have 100 or 150 or 300 homes in it, we want to know. We need to know and be thinking in advance what that'll do. It may create capacity issues. It may even shuffle the deck again. But ultimately, I don't see it much different than when, as a planning, you're going to look. There needs to be provision for streets. There needs to be provisions for public utilities. There needs to be potentially provisions for parks. You need to have egress. You need to have reviews from your health department. You have reviews from fire and water. You have reviews from police. You have reviews from all these people because these subdivisions, and particularly large subdivisions, create significant impacts on communities. And so we're not saying you can't do it. We're not saying any of those types of things. We're just saying it's one of those factors. The bill says it's one of those factors you ought to look into. And one of those things that you may find is that a lot of developers in large subdivisions will actually maybe be willing to donate a significant parcel of land because having an elementary school or an intermediate school in your subdivision may be a strong magnet. And so ultimately looking at those things, it doesn't require, but it certainly helps, puts on the radar the planning and the forward thinking that needs to go through, particularly with large subdivisions as it goes forward. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hicks, could you hold on just a moment? I think perhaps we would best deal with the amendment and then before we continue on the discussion of the bill.
Question on the amendment.
Question has been called. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion to adopt the Standing Committee whole amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? That amendment has passed. We're back on the bill. Senator Hicks.
Just a question for the sponsor. Couldn't this be handled on a county by county level through regulation through the planning and zoning commissions and boards instead of codify it in statute? Just a question for the sponsor.
Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Not being the sponsor, I'll add a few more questions and comments. Speaking on and opposed, land use planning is just that. They should be looking at every angle. These committees and commissions that do it need to look at everything, not just schools. We went through a whole laundry list of them, and for us to differentiate individual items, I think is a big overreach. They need to look at every single issue on a subdivision when they come in, not only on the existing subdivision, but what's happened around them before. And to start going through this little bit of a laundry list, these are things that they need to be doing locally. So I'd urge you to go against this and leave the local people to look at everything, not just the specific items. Otherwise, we're going to need another 30 more of these to come up for each different issue that comes. Thank you.
Senator Schiffer.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, and I'd urge the Senate to pass this bill. And I'll tell you why. The state of Wyoming has invested, I think, close to $1 billion in schools. $2 billion in schools. Do I hear three? And we're going to continue to invest in schools. That's an obligation that the state, that this legislature picked up. Now, if we're going to put that kind of money in that kind of a program, please, let's make sure that the school's in the right place and does what it's supposed to do. And we need these people at the local level. We got to say, folks, we'll shovel you the money, but please help us do it right. And that's all this bill does. And it is in the state's interest to say that's something special. And by the way, when we get all done building all the new schools, the ones we started with will be worn out, so we'll do them all again. So we're committed to this forever and ever. I don't know. But please, this is important in the interests of the state. Let's make sure they're done right, in the right place, at the right time, serving kids. I ask for your support on this bill.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we should support the bill because there's two things that you have to look at. Is a new school, like our colleague from Johnson County just brought up, we're going to be building, and there's a certain amount of investigation and what's around the site and roads and sewer and all that kind of stuff that takes place in a new school. But I think where this bill comes in and asks you pretty please look at this is on the existing school. Because if you go in and you put in a new school or an older school is there, and then all of a sudden that piece of the town is open for a subdivision, then you really don't have the Facilities Commission involved in it because it's not a new construction. And this, I think, just kind of opens the door up and says, kind of take a look around, guys, and see what this is going to do. You know, so I don't think it hurts anything. I don't think it's as strong as maybe some would like it, but I think it starts the process of looking at it on the existing school. So I'd say you ought to vote for it.
Question's been called for. All of those in favor of Senator Case's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 34, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
The bill has passed. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 35. Would the reader please read it in?
House Bill number 35, sponsored by Representative Gere, Notarial Certification of Business Entity Instrument, an act relating to notarial acts. It was referred to Committee number 7, Corporation Lexan Political Subdivision, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, Martin, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a due pass recommendation on House Bill 35, Notarial Certification of Business Entity Instruments. Mr. Chairman, there's not a senator on this bill, and I thought the co-sponsor was going to get, or the sponsor was going to find one. I would yield to Senator Perkins to talk about the bill.
Senator Perkins.
I don't know about these bills that come down without Senate sponsors, but the my understanding, I spoke briefly with one of the sponsors of the bill in the opening days of session. He asked me to sign on, and I said no. Because I thought I had enough to do. But that being said, what I remember about our conversation just prior to the seemed like this, Mr. Chairman, it seemed like that State of the State address was a long time ago, even though it's only been a mere 3.5 weeks or so. But the what I remember in this is what the problem with the existing short form on this is we're talking about notarial certificates or notarial jurats, as they affect individuals who are representing or acting in a representative capacity of an entity, a corporation, a limited liability company, a limited partnership. And as I remember our conversation, he was saying that one of the problems they have is right now making sure that the individual who's signing this notary jurat on behalf of the entity is both, one, what their authority is, and two, that they actually are certifying that they have the authority. The idea being that the notarial officer, or the notary public, as we still refer to him most of the time, I think, is certifying not that the document's true or anything else, but simply that the officer that appeared before them was who they said they were, and that the officer represented to them that they were authorized to act in that capacity. And so that's what I remember about my conversation with the prime sponsor of this bill. And with that, we can either, I don't know that I can answer any questions, but we can vote it up or vote it down, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, I think we ought to move this through to another reading. What I'm seeing here is that I think there is a disconnect between what the bill is doing and what we should be doing, but here's the issue. We used to have an act that dealt simply with presumptions and short forms. And the idea was that you use a short form acknowledgement that simply says, the foregoing instrument was acknowledged to be by Joe Blow, who was the president of the company on this date period. And then by using that statutory sort of form, then that presumption is created that it meets all the requirements of and satisfies another lengthy act. Now, this act got all revised not too long ago by one of the House members, brought it through, and it looks to me like, going back to the form, that we may have not tied together the presumptions to the short forms, so it deserves a look. I'm not sure if this is the solution. The reason why is because this is the long form. This is the long form we're trying to get away from to go to the short form, and it makes no sense to put the long form back in and say it's a short form. It's not. But I think we can take a look at it over this evening and see if we can get it shaped up by tomorrow.
Or I guess Monday. Question has been called for. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 35, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? House Bill 35 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move that I beg to leave and sit again. I move that the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? That motion is passed.
Senator Ross, do you have further direction?
Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand in recess until 2 p.m.
Announcements? Senator Bebout?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals, will meet 15 minutes after the noon recess today in room S18 to consider the following House bills. House Bill 89, Engrossed, Workplace Safety, Employer Assistance. House Charging Resolution 1, Engrossed, Resolution in Support of Anwar Energy Development. And Mr. President, just a heads up, on Monday at noon, we're going to be having some hearings on the governor's appointments in room 302, and then on adjournment, we're going to continue those. And Mr. President, on Tuesday at 8 a.m. in room H18, we'll be talking about interim topics.
Thank you. Senator Schiffer, go ahead.
Your committee number 8, Transportation, will meet in 15 minutes or so up in S14 to take up House Bill 48, Engrossed, 80 miles per hour speed limit, and House Bill 46, Engrossed, Handicap Parking, Space, Size, and Marking.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
President, your committee number 12, Rules, will meet immediately upon recess here to consider House Bill 31, Obsolete Laws.
Mr. Vice President.
Mr. President, if I may have the privilege of the floor to request Chairman, if they've got any more bills that they are going to be referred. I think there's one more out there.
Yeah, go ahead.
So the question is there another bill that needs to be re-referred? And actually, the person I was really directed to is absent from Fremont County, Senator Bebout. I think he's got. Senator Bebout, do you have one more bill to be re-referred?
Go ahead, Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yes, I do. The one we're hearing at noon today. And if it passes, we'll get it right down here.
Mr. President, then here's what we'll do. We have House Bill 7. And upon re-referral of your bill, so members of the committee look at what bills are up on general file. As soon as they're re-referred, we'll meet immediately following the re-referral, and we'll just go ahead and meet in the education room over here if Senator Coe is okay with it, and kick these last two bills out. So we have House Bill 7, Voluntary Livestock Identification Program. Upon re-referral of the other House bill from Minerals, with the permission of the President, we'll just leave the floor, go, and take hearing on it, and bring the bills right back.
I would allow that. Okay, Senator Perkins, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to announce that on Monday at 9 o'clock in the Judiciary Committee room that we will meet in room S1 to at 9 o'clock, not 8 o'clock, but 9 o'clock to discuss interim topics.
Any other announcements? Seeing none, you've all heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion has carried. The Senate will stand recessed until 2 p.m. 2 o'clock p.m. this afternoon.